Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never, ever pass away. I want to speak to you for a few moments today on change. I'm not talking about the nickels and dimes in your pocket. I'm talking about life change. I want to encourage you this morning that change is possible. Change is possible. All of us here this morning, every single one of us, need to always be changing. Someone once said, if you're through changing, you're through. Change is so important. In John chapter 5, we meet a man who needed change. And Jesus asked the man who had been in a debilitating condition for over 38 years, he said to this man, or he asked this man, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? In essence, Jesus was asking the man, do you want to change? Do you want to change? Do you want to be made well? Do you want a new lease on life? Deep down, I think on the inside, all of us want to change. Isn't that true? That's what New Year's resolutions are all about, right? We start off the year and we make a list of certain areas of our life that we want to see change. That might be a financial change. It might be a health, spiritual change. And what we do is we make some New Year's resolutions. Some of you are saying, well, it's March. That was January. I forgot what my New Year's resolutions were. But the reason why we don't necessarily keep our New Year's resolutions or follow through on them, because change can be hard. Isn't it true? Change can be hard. We all can get in a rut in our life. We get comfortable in our routines. Sometimes we even get comfortable in our dysfunction. We live a certain way, even if it's counterproductive, even if it's unhealthy, we get used to it and we continue in it and we find it hard to change. Even though we're not happy, even though we long for a better life, even though we long for change, we get stuck in a rut. But I want you to hear this morning that change is possible. Turn to the person next to you and say, change is possible. But change can be hard. Change can be very hard. You know, think about your daily routines. We do certain things a certain way every day. And if someone messes with that routine, it throws us off, doesn't it? You know, just think about putting your pants on. Now, I had to think about this for a second. I put my pants on. That's just routine. I don't even think about it. I don't know why that started that way. But you know what I tried? I tried to put my right leg in first. I almost fell over. I'm serious. It's because we get to so much of a routine. We do things in a certain way over and over and over again. And we get conditioned to do things, even the simple tasks of life. But the reality of it is, the more complicated tasks too become difficult. We have the certain mindsets. We have certain habits. We have certain lifestyles. And when they're unhealthy, counterproductive, and if they're wrong in God's eyes, they can be very hard to change. But I want you to hear me this morning. Change is possible. But change is necessary. It's essential. Change is essential. We have to keep on changing as a person, as a husband, a father, a mother, a wife, as a worker, as a Christian, as a pastor, as a leader, whoever, whatever. We all need to change. And the reason why we're all here is because we're not all there. I don't know if you got that one. You had to be looking. We're all here because we're not all there. And, you know, one good thing about being a pastor, you got tremendous job security. Tremendous job security, because we all have need of God's grace. We all have need of change. We all have need of the Word of God. We all have need of God's grace in our lives to produce that change that's so critical. You know, you say, well, will I ever get to a place where I arrive? Well, yes, when you get to heaven. Until then, you know, we look at people in the scriptures. Paul the Apostle. Paul said, I have not yet arrived. After 30-something years of revelation, of inspiration, of being touched by God and wonderful experiences, he said, I haven't arrived, but I press on. I press on. I forget those things which are behind. I let them go. I release them, and I press on to what is ahead. Peter said it this way. He said, grow. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is always room for improvement. There is always room for growth, and there's always room for change. But change can be difficult. Let's look at this passage of scripture, John chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And now there was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, with having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. It doesn't tell us what exactly was his infirmity, but this was a debilitating disease that for 38 long years he had suffered. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. Here we have Jesus asking what looks like a foolish question. Here is a man in a condition for 38 years, suffering. And Jesus says to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Let's look at this a little further. Here we have in verse 3 the condition of the multitude. The Bible says that there were sick, blind, lame, paralyzed people. This morning, I believe in some ways that's a picture, that's a metaphor, if you will, of where people are at spiritually, people are at emotionally. They might be, they might not be physically sick, but emotionally they're not well. It might be, they might not be physically blind, but spiritually they can't grasp or see the things of the kingdom. They might not be physically lame, but they can be lame in their outlook, their attitude, and their perspective. That's the condition of where Jesus found a multitude. And in many ways this morning, it could be representative of some of you here this morning. And I don't say that to speak in any way critical, but just the realization many times where we can be at in our fears, our insecurities, our damaged emotions. But here was the condition of this one man, 38 years. That's a long time. That's a long time. Here he was in a condition by virtue of the longevity of the condition that it was pretty much a hopeless situation from a human standpoint. He even says in verse 7, there's no one to help me. And he says, when the water's stirred and I go to step in, basically I'm a day late and a dollar short. Have you ever felt like that? You know, that just when you think something good's going to happen, or just when you think there's a breakthrough or a turnaround, it seems to be delayed, or someone else seems to get your blessing. But I want you to know that God has a blessing for you that's tailor-made for you and especially for you this morning. But I want to look at for a few moments the conditions of change. Jesus said to this man, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? Are you willing? Are you willing? That's really what he was asking. Are you willing? Do you really want to change? Why is he asking that question? Because, again, change is hard. Change is difficult. We get into the ruts. We get into the routines. We do things a certain way. And even in our dysfunction, we end up being comfortable and we don't change. John Maxwell, I believe he was the one who first said this. I heard it in different variations. But listen to this. People change when they hurt enough that they have to change. Or people change when they learn enough that they want to change. Or thirdly, that they receive enough that they're able to change. Now, I want you to get that this morning. You know, one of the keys to really changing for you and for me, turn to the person next to you and say, I believe he's talking to you. Some of you talk when you're not supposed to talk. And then when I tell you to talk, you don't talk. I see. You see, but change, for change to take place, there's got to be desperation. Desperation. Jesus asked him, do you want to change? You mean, how could he ask that question? The man's been infirm for 38 years. He's been waiting. He's been hoping. He's been longing. But you know what? It's not a foolish question. Actually, it's the wisest question. It's the essential, or the first essential towards receiving the power of Jesus is to have an intense desire for it. If you really want to change, if I really want to change, there's got to be a desperation. There's got to be a desperation. What have I learned in life and ministry? You can't help someone who doesn't want help. You can't help someone who doesn't want to change. You see, if in our hearts, in an inmost being, we're content to stay as we are, then there can be no change. Sometimes there has to be a hitting of what we call rock bottom, where there is no way out, that we hit rock bottom so that we have to look up. Because there's no way, other way to look, and that might not be a good place or a comfortable place for you, but that could be a good place because then it could be the beginning of you looking to God in the way you should. The reality of it is we don't usually look to God when things are going smooth. We tip our hat to God, if you will, and we just kind of go our merry way. You see, but do you want to change, Jesus asked the man. Do you want to be made well? He was asking, how desperate are you? Are you willing to make some changes, some adjustments? Are you willing to go through the hard process of change? Are you willing to get marriage counseling before things get really bad? Are you willing to become accountable to somebody when you're beginning to dabble in sin? Or when you're beginning to dabble in habits and addictions? Or do you wait till it's so bad that there's no other way out? Are you willing to seek God and surrender your will to God's will this morning? I'm asking you, are you willing to change? You see, someone once said it this way, people won't change until the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change. Change is hard, but when it becomes more painful to stay the way we are, then we'll be willing to go through the pain of change. I have to say, rarely do I see couples seeking marriage counseling until it gets really bad. But I want to encourage you, don't wait to that point. We could all use a spiritual tune-up. We could all use encouragement. We could all use godly input in our life. Really, do I see people seeking out help when they're just having a drink or two? It's when it becomes a full-blown addiction. People really look for help when they're messing around with quote-unquote lighter drugs. People really want help when they're looking at soft corn porn. But I'm telling you this morning, don't wait until it gets that bad. Let today be the day where you're willing to change. Where you're willing to have some accountability in your life. Where you're willing to let the Word of God speak to you. Where you're willing to surrender your will. Don't wait till there is a catastrophe. Don't wait until it gets so bad. You know, there's a story that's told. I don't know if it was a poem that was written or a story that was told of a community. They had this high mountainous region, and what they found was people kept going too close to the edge, and they kept falling over. They kept falling over, and some were getting hurt very bad. Some were ending up in the hospital. Some were ending up killed. They would die from this fall. So the community got together and they decided, they said, what should we do? Should we spend all the money, all the time, all the resources to build a secure fence all around the mountain? Or should we enlist the local ambulance? They decided to just have the ambulance there. So as people fell off, the ambulance was there, taking them to the hospital. And for a while, that they thought that was a good way to go about it. Until somebody with a little more wisdom said, why don't we erect the fence? It takes more money, it's more work, it's more effort, but it's better to have a fence around the mountain than have an ambulance in the valley. What am I trying to say is sometimes we just need those barriers. We need those accountability factors built into our life. We need some boundaries. We need some of those things that keep us from falling over the edge. God's word acts as that. God's word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. It provides for us that boundary, that security. But you know what? It's not enough. Whoa, wait a minute. I don't know if this is a good church. The pastor just said the word of God's not good enough. Keep listening while I take a drink of water. We need brothers and sisters in the church. We need accountability. Accountability. You know, it's easier to confess our sins to God than it is to other people. We need accountability. We need people who are godly that could speak into our life, that could hold us accountable. Now, that's a tough thing in our culture. That's a tough thing in the church culture. Because as soon as you begin to confront somebody in the church, they're going to that church or that church. Or that church, and they're gonna hide, and they're gonna fly under the radar. I remember years ago being a part of a men's accountability group, and I remember we'd get together for prayer, men, and we would just share our needs and then share our struggles. And then we knew what we were getting into, and there was accountability. So our accountability partner would ask some tough questions. Ask some questions like, how are you treating your wife? Phone or on the internet? Are you drinking? And go down a list, and it was just accountability. Now, if you know you're in an accountability group and somebody's going to ask you those questions, what does it do? It keeps you a little, uh-oh, I've got to be on my best behavior. So we'd ask the questions. You know what the last question would be? Did you lie to me about any of the above questions? Hello? Hello, come on, you. I'm talking about human nature. You know, we all duck and jive and hide, and we all look so good on a Sunday morning, and we can put our best foot forward, and we can even fake it thinking we're going to make it. But you can't fake it with God. You can't fake it with other people. You've got to do what's right before God. Have that accountability. The Bible says, confess your faults to one another and pray that you may be healed. Oh, now I'm really messing with some of you. We're not talking about going to a priest who has a collar on backwards. We're talking about having people in our lives that we could acknowledge where we're falling short, where we're missing the mark, where we're sinning. Yes. Oh, I got so much to say. Let's just move on. Let's move on. You see, Jesus comes to this man, and do you want to be made well? And you see in our lives, it's sad. You know, we've heard this so much. I don't even want to say it, but I'll say it. What is a form of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Jesus said, do you want to be made well? Do you really want it? Turn to the person next to you and say, do you really want to change? You know what that means? No more excuses. No more excuses. What did the man say? Well, I have no one to put me into the water. I've got no one to help me. I go to church. Nobody cares for me. Nobody asks how I'm doing. Somebody didn't say hi to pastor. Didn't say hi. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. No more excuses. You see, we make excuses, and why we're in the condition we're in. You know, at the end of the day, it's you and God. It's not you and other people. Can't make excuses. We all got excuses. No more accusing. He says, you know, other people get in before me. You know, here he is. You know, people are getting in my way. No more excuses. See, many times we accuse other people for the predicament that we're in. I remember hearing a preacher give this illustration of two young men who grew up in an alcoholic home. Two young men, I believe they were twins, they grew up in the same home, under the same abuse, under the same alcoholism, under the same issues, and one said, I'm an alcoholic because my father's an alcoholic. The other said, I'm not an alcoholic because my father was an alcoholic. It's a difference of perspective. It's a difference between making, excusing yourself or accusing, but then there's a choosing. Are you going to excuse, you're going to accuse, or are you going to choose and say, yes, I'm willing. I'm going to take responsibility for my life, and I'm going to make the choice to change by the grace of God. The power of God. God can change you. God can change me. It doesn't matter what we've done, where we've been, what we've been through. Change is possible. Change is real. Can you say amen? I want to read a passage of scripture of just what the word of God says about change in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look what it says. Verse 9, this is still the word of God. I know it's the 21st century. 2024. But look what the word of God says. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Turn to the person next to you. Say, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators. No, you don't have to say that. Idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. When we were coming back from a mission trip from Liberia in the airport last week, I saw one of the newspaper stands, and I believe it was a New York paper, and it says lawfully bedded. And it says that a representative in state legislation in New York was trying to say that adultery is no longer illegal. And the caption underneath it says, we didn't even know it was wrong. But just the culture, that adultery, that fornication is acceptable. All right, I'm going to go over here, get quiet over there. I'm only telling you what the word of God says. It says, do you not know that they will not inherit the kingdom of God? You say, well, what hope is there? Well, you want to know where the hope is? Look at the next verse. And such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. What was Paul saying? He was saying that was the catalog of sins. That was for the categories. This is what you were doing. That was a part of your sinful nature. But you came to Jesus and he changed you. He washed you. He sanctified you. He justified you. That's what the cross is all about. That's what Good Friday is all about. That's what Easter is all about. You were changed. Change is possible. Look what the word of God says. Such were some of you. Thank God he still changes people. Can you say amen? Amen. People, we need the revelation of God to man. And that's found in the scripture. Scriptures are given by inspiration of God. You see, when we talk about change, we're talking about being inspired. We're talking about knowing enough that we want to change. The Word of God empowers us with spiritual truth. What does the Bible say? The truth will set you free. The Word of God is a catalog, is a history of changed lives. Let me give you a little sampling. Jacob was a cheater. Peter had a temper. David had an affair. Noah got drunk. Jonah ran from God. Paul was a murderer. Gideon was insecure. Miriam was a gossiper. Oh. Amen. Those are the spiritually acceptable sins in the church. Oh, it's okay to gossip and have roast pastor at Cello's. I'm sorry, after church. Martha was a warrior. Sarah was impatient. Elijah was depressed. Moses stuttered. Zacchaeus was short. Abraham was old. And Lazarus was dead. But God changed every one of them. God changed every one of them. May that be an inspiration to you that God can change you. Hallelujah. We need to receive enough that we're able to change. You know, I believe most people want to change. I believe that the problem is we don't have the power to change. We get so bound in our addictions and our ruts in our minds and our negative thinking that we want to change, but we think we can't. But there is power to change. We've got to plug in to the power source, the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he'll quicken your mortal body. God wants to quicken us today. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. The power of the gospel, the power of God is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus hanging, bleeding, dying on a cross can change your life, can change my life. Not just one time, but every day. There are times of worship, times of praise that we have around the altar. You know what? I think we got to get back to calling this an altar, not a stage. Come on now. Come on, we've changed so much in our culture. We don't want to call it an altar lest we offend somebody. So we call it a stage. So we think it's a place where people can showcase their talents of singing and of preaching and of praying. No, it's not. It's an altar. It's a place to meet with Almighty God. It's a place to humble ourselves and say, God, it's me, Lord. It's me standing in the need of change. Not my brother, not my sister, not the pastor, not somebody else, but it's me, God. I need to change. I don't know about you, but after 35 years of pastoring, I have said, God, I need to keep changing because these people are going to drive me crazy. You don't even know. You don't even know. But you know, there are times my wife and I will be in a situation and we'll say, if this happened 5 years ago or 10 years ago, man, thank God he's changing us because we're not dealing with it the same way. And you know what? God wants us to change. Amen. We don't want to keep dealing with things and being that same person. If any man is in Christ, the old is passing away. The new is coming. Christ is changing us. Don't ever get comfortable. Let me tell you, this church is not for you if you want to stay where you're at spiritually. Hello? This church is not for you. There are a lot of other churches you can go to. But if you're going to stay here, you're going to be made uncomfortable in your sin. You're going to be made uncomfortable in your old ways. Isn't that a good thing? Amen. You don't want a pastor that makes you comfortable in your sin, comfortable in your lifestyle, because then, you know what happens? Then you go on down the wrong path, and your life gets out of wreck, gets out of line, and comes to a wreck. But let me tell you, when you heed the Word of God changes your life. The word of God changes you. You see, as we wait upon God, as we receive his power, we understand God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Can you say amen? Would you stand together with me this morning as we bring this to a close? One scholar, one author said this. He said, the life which we're accustomed to holds us more than the life we long for. The life that we are accustomed to holds us more than the life we long for. Let me explain something to you. Sin, see, people think that God is a killjoy, that all the things, I'm talking about a worldly perspective, that all the things that are fun are wrong. No, no. God is trying to keep you from those things that'll destroy your life and that'll keep you from being the real you he created you to be. You see, when sin entered the world, corruption, degradation, destruction entered the world and entered our world. But when Jesus came and suffered and bled and died on Calvary, what he did was he shed his blood to cover our sin, to wash our sins away, to give us a new life. Sin is a distortion of the perfect will of God and the image of God in our life. The closer we get to Jesus, it says that if we are transformed, we're transformed as we gaze into the glory of God. And the Bible says we're transformed into his image from glory to glory. What a hope we have. I'm glad that I'm not done changing. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm not done changing. I still have to change. You still have to change. I want you to know this morning, change is possible. Don't give up hope. Don't give up hope this morning. I don't know where you're at, what you've been through, what you've done, but there is hope in God this morning. There's the hope of change. Jesus said to that man, and I say to you this morning, do you want to be made well? Do you want to change? I want to close in prayer, and I want to just give an opportunity for some of you. Maybe there's many, maybe there's only a couple. It doesn't matter, but God knows the hearts that are responsive to him. Maybe this morning you say, I'm willing to change. If that's you, just quickly, I want to pray with you. Just move out of your seat. By you moving out of your seat and coming standing here, you're saying, I want to change. I want God's grace. I want God's help. I need his help. Would you just quickly, don't think about it. Don't rationalize it. Don't worry about who's looking. Listen, everybody needs to change. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Just come quickly. Just if you would play a song, give an opportunity for others to come, and then I want to pray with you in close. Just begin to pray, those of you around these altars. Just begin to look to the Lord this morning.
I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love and through generations.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know that you will keep your covenant.
Touch your people, God. Touch your church, God. Touch
I'm
people.
Calling on the God.
Thank
of
you, Jesus.
Moses.